in order. It can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and we could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could would if he were still. Thank you.
All right, this is a panel on service as a young person, Alcoholics Anonymous, and YPAW. We have four speakers, and then there'll be questions and answers at the time, at the end if time permits. Please help me welcome our first speaker, Claudia.
All right, what's up? I'm Claudia. I'm an alcoholic.
Bye, guys.
We love you,
guys. Lots and lots and lots.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. This is actually the first panel I've ever spoke on at a conference, so I'm, like, super stoked, super nervous, but it's about something that I love, so hopefully, like, God will take my words and, you know, because I'm brain dead right now. I'm fucking exhausted. So my sobriety date is January 24th of 2016. You know, I mean, I guess a couple of the things that I'm doing right now for service, I'm actually on the host committee for as Bid City Liaison. I'm on the Phoenix bid for IKIPAW. I'm events chair for that bid. And I'm GSR as well as scribe for my home group, which is Dr. Bob's Nightmare over in Tempe for, it's a young people's meeting. And so, you know, that's just some of the stuff that I do right now. And, like, I was, like, writing it all down in a service resume this morning for the Phoenix bid book. And on paper, it doesn't seem like a lot, but I seem to have no time in my life for anything but service and the other things that, like, I enjoy to do. And it's, like, really fulfilling. You know, I was just thinking about service and what service means to me and why I do so much service, like to me at least. I think that I do a lot of service, you know, but that's because it's from my perspective and I'm busy like all the time, you know. And what I love about it is that before I got sober and before I had any of I don't know if any of you guys have else felt like this, but like I felt like I didn't get a service manual or like a life manual, you know. I always felt like I was out of place. I never fit in. I always had this feeling of like not belonging anywhere. And even when I got into, you know, being sober and in the rooms, I still felt like that sometimes. And that was just my own insecurities of being around people because I didn't know how to interact with people. I had maybe like 3 or 4 friends in high school. I don't fucking know. But, yeah, so I ended up, you know, by law, you know, running into the rooms and getting sober and just kind of stayed sober and got caught by the service bug. I started sponsoring people at like 7 months and like I loved it because it like helped me to solidify the program that I was working. You know, I got to really, I got to take women through the book and I got to learn, you know, that I can't tell other people how to, like, what my experience is unless I'm, like, working it, you know? And so that really pushes me into the program and the principles that I live today. And I'm always looking for room for growth. And, you know, I don't know. You know, before I got sober, like I said, like I felt like I didn't fit in, but I also felt like I didn't have purpose. I didn't understand why I was on this earth. I didn't understand why God had put me through the trials and tribulations that I had been through. And I didn't understand where I really stood in life, honestly. I thought that I was just like, I had like 6 steps to my life. And it was graduate high school, graduate college, get a good job, get married, have kids, retire and travel, and then, like, die, you know? And it was, like, to me, that was so simple, you know, 6 easy steps. It's not that easy, I figured, because I'm, you know, 25, and I've lived a lot longer of a life than I ever thought I would. And, 1 second. And, yeah, so... You know, I do all of these things because to me, service is purpose. I have a purpose today. I have something to look forward to. There's a part in the big book where it talks about being a maximum service to God and to our fellows, you know, in whatever sense that may mean to you, you know, that could be a variety of things. Mine just ends up being, I love being on committees. I love working with other people. I love, I went to my first GSR conference like last weekend, and it was the driest fucking thing in the world, sitting there listening to all this boring stuff, and my panel didn't even meet. So I was like, but I knew that I was showing up for a service commitment that I had committed to, and that solidified why I do what I do. You know, I carry the integrity in through my program. And being able to look at it in a bigger picture for GSR and stuff like that, you know, that's Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the general service. Like, I've learned so much in that one conference than I have in a really long time. Like, all compacted into, like, one day. It was a rough day, but it was a good day. But, you know, I don't know. I get asked to speak, and I get asked to show up, and I want to be a part of these committees. I want to be a part of my home group. I want to be a part of something, because I look at it like selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of all of my problems, right? And so how am I going to combat that? How am I going to live in the assets of that? And what I do for my own program is that I get to be of maximum service to others. Like, I'm living on borrowed time. You know, this shit isn't about me anymore, personally. I always thought it was, and I lived my life for a really long time, and I still do every once in a while. I mean, I probably do all the time, but it's a little bit less now. When I was always looking out for myself and what I thought were my needs and my wants and what I thought was best for me, and I was living on self-propulsion all the time, that got me a lot farther away from the goals that I ever even imagined. You know, it always had, like, I failed out of college, I got a DUI, I, like, just wasn't following the rules of life, I guess, you know, like, a midnight deadline. I didn't understand that people, like, went home and did that shit, you know, and so, you know, the thing about it is that for me and the life that I live today, like, living on this borrowed time, like, what am I going to do with that? And for me, service is the best thing for me, because when I think about that kind of stuff, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this prayer, but like whenever I'm in anger, fear, resentment, insecurity, whatever it is that like makes me feel like I'm not a part of, I ask God, like, please God, remove whatever it is and show me where to be of service. Because to me, service is the next right action, the most loving action to my fellows and to my higher power. And that really, that, like, if I take it not even one day at a time, but just one step at a time, that's my life manual right there. And that's where I get the best, like, the most fulfillment within myself of self-worth and... I don't know. I'm just like super grateful to be a part of this conference. I'm super grateful to be able to speak on this panel. I love service. I plan on continuing to do this for a really long time, in whatever facet that may be at any time. Just right now, it's committee, YPAW committees. And yeah. I don't know, it's supposed to be 12 minutes, but I think I'm at like 9, so I'm done. But I really appreciate all of you guys coming out here today. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and have a really good time. Thanks.
Thank you. Please help us welcome our second speaker, Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
We love you, Rachel. Lots and lots and lots.
A whole bunch. Hi, I love you too. My sobriety date is 9/7/12. I have a sponsor. I love you, Shay. I have worked the steps. I continue to do that. I sponsor women. I serve Sisters of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am here by the grace of God. I didn't do anything special. I just did what I was told most of the time. And I'm really excited to talk to you guys about service. It's the one thing that I think keeps me in the middle in times of my sobriety where I hated AA, I still love service. I remember the first time I was asked to be of service, I originally was told by my sponsor, get a home group, it'll make you feel better, so I got two, because I would just want to feel better. And I was sitting outside of one of those home groups when I had about 3 months sober. This girl came up to me, she was 21 years old and she had 4 years of sobriety. My mind was fucking boggled. Like, how, what, it didn't seem real. The most amount of time that, like, made sense to me was, like, 2 months. Like, 8 weekends in a row. That was substantial. 4 years was, like, you just had no friends. Flat out. So she comes up to me, and I'm miserable. I'm chain-smoking cigarettes on this curb, isolating, not talking to anyone, feeling like a complete alien in my own skin. She asked me if I want to come be of service and speak at this rehab. I was like, what the fuck do I have to offer people? It's a juvenile unit. She said, you show up and you tell them what your life looks like and let them try to avoid being you. So I end up going to this rehab, and it's the place where I got sent to treatment the first time when I was 15 years old. I get to sit in front of these kids and say, that was my old bedroom for a month. I had no idea. Had been getting loaded for so long that I forgot that that was even the facility until I pulled up. It was this profound experience, and ever since then I got as involved as I could with hospitals and institutions. My first year or so, once you have a year out here, at least at the time, you were able to go and speak at prisons, but you couldn't get badged. I think you had to have 4 years here in the Valley. So I would do that every opportunity I could. I got to speak at Lumley, Piestewa, and Santa Cruz, the medium, max, and low-level prison yards. And that was the kind of service that I liked. The idea of doing YPAW at the time was terrifying. You all were friends and had interpersonal relationships. I am not good at those. And I still like to think that it's something that I get to work on, but it's tough for me, honestly. The webs of people's lives and feeling like people are looking at me still a lot of the time is very uncomfortable for me. So being in a prison where I know that these people aren't I'm probably never going to see them again is a very comfortable thing for me. I did not get involved in service. I would show up to a conference literally to hear my sponsor speak and leave. I was okay to, like, go to the pool party, like, Icky Paw. I only went to the pool parties my first time there because actually communicating with you guys was so scary to me. I'm like, the party, I'm comfortable. But, like, please don't ask me how my day is because no. I didn't get involved until I was a couple years sober. I had a really tough time. I moved out to Oregon for grad school, and I had a really rough night. I'd heard about this late night meeting in Portland, which was an hour away from where I was living, and had this inclination that if I didn't go to this meeting, I'd have a real chaotic night and make a lot of damage. So I go to this meeting. I see a 17-year-old old sponsee of mine, and I'm like, one, you're breaking curfew. Two, like, hi, please talk to me. So I feel very uncomfortable. And she said, hey, we're going to this bonfire afterwards. You should totally come. And I was like, well, I wasn't invited, so I'm not going to go. Like, that's weird. she said, you don't have to be invited. Everyone is welcome. So I end up asking her to, like, ride with me because I was so afraid of, like, going to something alone. And mind you, like God, I was, like, almost 10 years older than her at the time. It's really hard to admit. But, like, I needed that friend. I needed that safety blanket. I ended up going to this bonfire on Savi Island up in Portland area. And it's the Wacky Palm mid-year. And I just saw a bunch of people, like, that were like me. And they were having conversations. And they seemed comfortable. And it finally seemed like it was appealing. Like, I was ready to receive that gift of WIPA. So I got involved. I never thought that I would be involved in that. I found a H&I commitment at a McLaren Youth Correctional Facility up there, which for me is service to young people in AA. WIPA is great. I love it. We get to party. It's wonderful. But if I'm trying to be of service to young people in Alcoholics Anonymous, that doesn't just mean my friends. That doesn't just mean the people that make me feel cool on the internet. It's about the service work that doesn't really get seen. And for me, showing up at that prison yard, talking to those kids that I've never been incarcerated, but to go there and show these people that, like, Alcoholics Anonymous isn't afraid of you. You might feel like society is afraid of you and that you're an other, but you're not. You have a home and you have a safe place to go. You have a fun place to go and you don't have to worry about recidivism when you come here. That's what kept me involved in my heart and WIPA when there were times in my life where I'm like, why do I still do this? It's very uncomfortable for me. At certain points in my service experience, and what keeps bringing me back is that notion of it's not about me. It's not about my interpersonal relationships. It's not about my feeling cool, because I don't ever. For me, when I come into these conferences, when I go into these committees, and I have the mentality of who can I help, as opposed to how am I being helped, what is service doing for me, what is service doing for my weekends, I'm going to have a bad time. When I go in there, just a show up to this conference, I'm like, how do I help? Keep me busy. I have a great time. And one thing that I've learned is they have it in the 12 and 12. Am I doing this thing enthusiastically? Because there's a lot of times where I show up to these things, like, I'm tired, I'm losing my voice. I don't particularly want to show up. And it's always an honor and a privilege, but there's sometimes where, like, I'd really rather my bed, and I would much rather be sleeping at the moment. And it's not about that. It's about the person in the back of the room that's like, I want them to see me behind the merch table with a smile on my face, because my conference experience is not about me at this point. Like, maybe my first couple were, because I wanted to get that fire lit, but once that fire's lit, it's absolutely not about me. And I love concept one. If you're involved in service and you haven't yet, my experience in service absolutely changed by getting my hands on the AA service manual and by going through the 12 concepts. Even if you just, so, like, this is the manual. It has in there, like, Robert's rules and procedures, long form of the 12 traditions. But if this looks intimidating, which it's smaller than the big book, so don't be. If you could read that, read this. They also have the 12 concepts illustrated available, and I recommend it to everyone. It's fantastic. The PDF is free on the internet, AA.org. Concept one is about the responsibility. And as much as there are times in my service where, like, I'd much rather go to, like, my detox commitment where these people aren't exactly my peers necessarily. I don't see them on a regular basis. They don't go to my committee meetings. I won't see them at meetings. So it's a safer place for me and my mentality. I have this responsibility. When I come to AA, I have that fundamental responsibility of the 12 step. And in my experience, like, I've had the honor and the privilege of being a part of Wacky Paw, the Oregon State Conference, Aussie Paw, the bid for Icky Paw up in Oregon for a couple years, and now the bid here, and this thing called Zony Paw, which we're trying to get started up. The aim for that one, shameless plug, is to have a statewide service body where we can help all of the YPAWs and help try to start new ones and bring the fire of YPAW and the fun of it to places in the farther reaches of our state, because the fact of the matter is that people are fucking dying, and a lot of them are our people. They're our age, they're younger, like, hit two funerals in the last few weeks. It's not how the rest of the world lives their lives typically, especially here in the U.S. So for me, there's that responsibility. There's people out there that don't know that AA exists. There's people out there like me when I first came in, and I was like, I was 22 when I got sober. The idea of never having fun again was terrifying. The idea of having fun with all of you was even more terrifying. When I first got sober, I was still partying in the bars. My sponsor was like, you kind of have one foot in and one foot out. But you all scared me because you're sober and you're going to remember the dumb shit I say. And like, my friends are all drunk, so like, they won't remember when I embarrass myself. So it took me a while to get to a point where I could feel confident and okay with the idea of messing up in front of people that were sober. In that experience, with doing service work, I have not done it perfectly, for sure. My ego kind of took the wheel for a while there. I had a beautiful conversation with a friend last night about the idea of, like, service work is, the principle of that is to be a servant. And I'm being a servant to AA. I'm being a servant to God in this process. And I like, kind of broke it down in my head to, like, I have two options. I can either be there to help, or I can be there in my own head and in my own ego and in my own, like, do you like me? Like, please, like me. And I'm either going to have a great time or I'm going to have a really uncomfortable time. Because I've never been of service to Alcoholics Anonymous with the right intentions and had a bad time. So in all of the service work I do, I really try to check my intentions. Why am I doing this? What am I here to give? Who am I here to help? And am I actively helping them? And like, simple little things. Like, I learned this trick to help me like have a better time. And it's something as simple as I carry tissue in my backpack when I go to conferences. And I look for the girl who might be having a rough time. And like, usually what I'm looking for, like, I'll always find her. And I'll offer some tissue in a chat and be like, I don't know you. In my profession, I'm an attorney, so I'm like, yo, confidentiality is kind of my thing. So do you want to just have a chat? If so, great. If not, like, here you go. Because I have that intentionality of, like, how can I help you? And I don't know. Every time I do that, I have this incredible experience, and I just try to focus on that. Who can I help, and what can I do? And God will tell me how to do that. The sponsor will tell me how to do that. People who have stayed sober longer than me or lost time than me have always shown up and given me that direction. So I try to stay in the middle. I try to show up when and how I can and do it with a helpful mentality. If that was helpful, awesome. If you would like to know where to get this, then talk to me afterwards. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service.
Thank you, Rachel. Now please help me welcome Dre.
Dre alcoholic.
Hi, Dre. We love you, Dre. Lots and lots and lots.
Does anyone have a big book? By any chance? Can someone go grab one? All right. So yeah, my name's Dre. Like I said, I'm an alcoholic. This is my first panel at a YPAW. I'm very nervous, so just bear with me. So yeah, my sobriety date is April 20th, 2014. Born and raised Kenosha, Wisconsin. Thank you. And I have a sponsor. My sponsor knows he's my sponsor. And I sponsor guys when they want to be sponsored. So, I say I'm an alcoholic, and I'll identify with that. I believe alcoholism is a four-component piece. How it was taught to me, my old sponsor, he passed away, his name's Alex Polinsky. He taught me that this mental illness centers in my mind, and it's the mental obsession, the phenomenon of craving, the spiritual malady, and the allergy. And I won't talk about outside substances, but when I wake up, it's the first thing on my mind. And when I go to bed, it's the last thing on my mind. And I'm sure you guys can all, you know what I mean, fill in the blank. The phenomenon of craving, which how it was explained to me again, is an unexplainable craving. When I put something in, whatever that finite substance is, I want more, and I can't tell you why I want more until I'm unconscious, and I wake up, and then the cycle repeats itself. The spiritual malady, it's basically the hole within my soul, you know what I mean? When I'm in a room full of people, it's the thing that differentiates me, and let me tell you why, you know what I mean? It's the thing that basically separates me from everything else out there that is connected, if that makes sense. And then the last part, the allergy, which again, how it was explained to me, was an abnormal reaction, you know what I mean? When somebody's hungover and when somebody's sick, their first thing isn't to go back to what made them sick. For me, it's like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Let's do it. What are we doing, you know? So I got sober when I was 20. I've never had a legal drink, which is crazy to think about. And basically, like what brought me here, what brought me to Arizona from Wisconsin was one more time. Like, I thought, like, my plan, my ideas, my designs for living were better. You know what I mean? And which resulted in me being incarcerated for a strong arm robbery charge that I didn't have a weapon. I, you know what I mean? I pretended like I had a weapon. Essentially, I robbed this guy sitting in Milwaukee County. You know what I mean? It's a crazy story. I won't get into all that, but like that's what brought me here, right? So I came out here to a place in Prescott, Arizona called New Freedom. And what's crazy is that every time I'm speaking, there's some sort of new freedom in the room or some sort of lineage of that. And I'll respect, you know what I mean, anonymity purposes. But we roll deep, you know. It was taught to me that whenever we go somewhere, we have an opportunity to be of service, we get in the truck, you know what I mean? And it's not just in Alcoholics Anonymous where I can be of service, you know what I mean? So the print tells me to apply the principles in all of my affairs. So it's not just at the conference, right? And so I was at New Freedom, right? Bring it back. And we went shopping at Walmart with the group. And after we were done shopping, the group of guys I was with said, hey, you got to get out of the car. Like, we're going to push carts, you know what I mean? We're going to grab carts. And it didn't make sense to me, you know what I mean? 20 years old. It didn't make sense because it's like like it was already said, I'm selfish and self-centered, and I wake up default to that, right? I wake up and it's like, what can I get from the day? What can I take? You know what I mean? Like, where can the world give to me, not me give it back in the universe? And it threw me off because I take my whole life, right? So when I'm going to push these carts, it was taught to me that It's not about you anymore, and it's really not even about the cart. It's about like the principle of that altruistic movement now growing up among us, right? That selflessly giving and not expecting in return. You know what I mean? And it took me a while to grasp that. You know, it took me, I don't know, 4 or 5 months to really understand that. Like after a certain amount of time in this program and being 5 years sober only by the grace of God, that it's not about Dre anymore. As much as I want it to be, it's just not. And yeah, it was a cool experience. So now, if you're ever with me, you know what I mean, in Prescott, and you see me like put my groceries in the car, like I will go grab a cart. And I don't do it all the time, you know what I mean? If I'm at a four-way stop and I'm there before the guy to the right or left of me, I will try to let them go. So I am involved in different levels of service. On the individual basis, like I said, I sponsor guys. I have a home group. It's Carry This Message, 7 o'clock speaker at the VA. I've held many different service positions there. I am on a treatment facility committee, like subcommittee of intergroup, which is basically H&I work, but we don't have H&I in Prescott. And that's bringing the message of Alcoholics Anonymous into treatment centers. And we just started that, which is a very cool experience on the general service level. We have literature from the GSO. It's not like we follow the print, you know what I mean? We follow that booklet and we utilize the traditions, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like I don't take my personality into like a general service setting, you know what I mean? And then I'm also bidding I'm on a bid committee for a Swacky Paw in Prescott. We're throwing a bid together for Vegas. So that's also very cool to be a part of young people in AA. The first conference I went to was Asky Paw. I came back from an amends trip in Wisconsin, making amends to my parents and some people back there in the Midwest. And 2014, which was incredible, you know what I mean? It definitely changed my perspective. And it almost like enlightened me, you know what I mean? That 20, 21-year-old kid, like recognizing that you can have fun in sobriety and you can be a part of that fun, right? So you can essentially you can bid, you can win a conference, and then you can put it on, and then you see like people living happy, joyous, and free. You know what I mean? And I don't feel like disconnected from you guys anymore. Like the malady is like fulfilled when I'm not thinking about myself, when I'm being of service, right? I just want to read something real quick, and I'm sure people have read it. If not, you should read it. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. So, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm here, is that I'm trying to quiet this and numb this, you know what I mean? And I consume whatever it is I need to consume to do that. And this, I try to follow like the print as much as possible, right? I try to utilize the book. And what it's explaining is that when I'm following one of the three legacies of unity, service, and recovery, and I'm speaking about service, is when I'm following one of these pieces of the triangle and I'm in the center of it, like I do not have a desire to drink or use. And even on top of it, like I get to walk with you hand in hand, you know what I mean? And when you meet yourself halfway and you meet God halfway, like I'm like right there with you, you know? And I don't know, like it's in the doc op, it talks about that altruistic movement. Like nothing has so much contributed to the rehabilitation than the altruistic movement now going up among them. And this is what we're doing. We're still growing up. You know what I mean? Like this movement is still happening. It's reaching different countries. It's reaching different levels. And like really, it's like limitless expansion. You know what I mean? Like we can go anywhere. We can do anything we want. And what's crazy to think about this is that it all started with like one person like saying what's up to another person, you know what I mean? And like, hey, like there's, you know what I mean? Like Bill pulling people off like bar stools, and it's like, hey man, like you feel this way, you think this way, you act this way, like me too, welcome. You know what I mean? Like it's like baffling to me that all of this started and it like set lineage, you know what I mean? Like I don't know who said it, but like, I have responsibility. Like, I, when we close service meetings, like, who's responsible? Like, I am responsible. You know what I mean? Someone was there for me, and it's up to me to, like, continue to carry this message, to continue to apply levels of service in and out of the rooms. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't stop just here, you know? So if you have an opportunity to be of service today, and humbly do it, you know what I mean? Like, buy someone's coffee, but don't tell anyone, you know? Like, just put it out in the universe, and I don't know, just see how you feel, like, see how you think throughout the day. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dre. Please help us welcome our last speaker, Nikki.
Nikki!
My name's Nikki, I'm alcoholic.
Hi, Nikki. We love you, Nikki. Lots and lots and lots. Oh,
yay, I'm so excited to be here. My sobriety date is April 12th of 2002. I attended my first ASCII PAW in 2003 here in Phoenix. And that's really where, like, the light bulb turned on for me. My friend Dale had just, like, randomly came down to Phoenix and met, like, all these YPAW people at a barbecue, and they're like, Prescott should put a bid together, and he, like, didn't know any young people in Prescott, because at the time there was probably, like, only, like, I don't know, 30 or 40 of us, and I actually met him in a coffee shop because I was typing how it works on a computer, and he saw it over my shoulder, and he's like, you're in the program, and I was like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I just moved here. I'm trying to get this young people group together. Do you want to join? And I'm like, yeah, like, come tell us about it. And so gathered all of our friends, and he was telling us about, like, how to make a bid and, like, what we needed to do. And we were, like, completely clueless. I, too, got sober when I was 20. So a bunch of, like, really new sober 20-year-olds trying to, like, come together and not knowing, like, what's going on. And I told Dre, like, before we started speaking that, like, our slogan and logo, like, wasn't even AA related. It was all wound up with, like, this tribal design, and we had printed, like, a million stickers, and they were, like, all over the hotel, and host was getting mad at us, and we're just like, we're here just to have fun and be sober, and, you know, and it was a good life, you know? And the thing for me is that when I got into AA, one, I had no idea what Alcoholics Anonymous was. I chose to go to treatment because I didn't want to live on the streets anymore. And when I went out to Prescott for aftercare, like, I had no idea what my life was going to be like. And so for me, my first 2 years of sobriety, I went to a ton of meetings and I did a ton of service work through YPAWS, and I didn't work any steps, and I didn't sponsor people, and I kind of had a sponsor, but the thing that kept me from not taking a drink was service work, because for me, service work gets me out of myself. So if I'm out of myself, I'm not thinking about me, therefore I'm thinking about you or thinking about something else, and then I can stay sober. But that catches up to you, too. So I did have a turning point at about 2 years sober, and through being on a YPAWS group, the fellowship in my life was huge. You know, I lived with sober people. I did everything with sober people. And they could see that I was slowly dying, you know, and the women surrounded me and was like, what are you doing, Nikki? And I'm like, a whole bunch of service work and a whole bunch of meetings. And they're like, that's not enough. I'm like, I know, I want to kill myself. And they're like, you need to get a sponsor that you can do step work with. I'm like, okay, who is that? And they're like, here's her number, call her. And I called this random lady I'd never met before. And I was like, I have 2 years sober, I'm dying, will you help me? And she said, yes, show up at my house with the Big Book tomorrow. And that's when my life started changing. But I truly believe if I hadn't been involved with service work that I would have gotten drunk. Because that ism is still there, right? And so through working the steps, I'm able to get out of myself and improve my life. Through service, I can do that as well. But you need that full circle, right? And so my life completely changed. And so we bid 3 years. So from 2003 was our first, and we didn't get it, obviously, thank God, because that would have been a disaster. 2004 we bid, and we didn't get it.
And I was so resentful at advisory. They, like, had to calm me down. I was crying. I was screaming. Like, every, like, character defect was coming out because, like, we had worked so hard and we had learned so much, and I wanted the conference to come to Prescott so bad because it hadn't been there since, like, 1998 or something, and we had these young people, and I wanted to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you didn't give it to us, and we came back another year, and we got it. So we just keep showing up, right? Like, that's the thing, is that regardless if you get a resentment on a bid committee or, you know, you have to take a group inventory or you have those newcomers that are bringing all these crazy outside issues in and you have to teach them, right? Like I told Dre before, like, we all make mistakes. Like, that's how you learn. Like, you have to make a mistake to learn what the right way is. So we guide people. So I've had the privilege of being on 3 host committees. So I was finally on the host committee when we bid in Prescott, and then I went on to advisory, which is like a whole nother thing. It was fun though. I did advisory for 5 years. I was the chair for 4 years because I like that kind of service. I'm more like a business-oriented kind of service person. I like to be in charge. That is how I am, and I will always be that way. It just is what it is. But that was a good experience because when I rolled off of advisory, I actually moved out of state, so I didn't really get involved with AA when I moved away. So I had about a 4-year period of my life where I didn't work anything at Alcoholics Anonymous. The only sober person I spoke to was my husband, and I say sober because we both were dry because we weren't working a program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then he asked if I wanted to move back to Prescott, and it was like no hesitation because I was dying inside at that point. I mean, 5 years, knowing what your life could be like and then living in it, it's not fun. And so I was like, yes, let's move back to Prescott. So that year there was a host committee, the 2014, and I was so scared, but I was dying inside. And so I went to the elections for the host committee, and I didn't know anyone in the room, and I was like, I'm not going to get elected because I know how these things go a lot of the time. And I just put myself out there, and I was like, look, you know, I've been on YPAWS. I am dying. I know I need service. And I got elected as the secretary because I have 3 kids, and that's kind of what I could do. And that's, like, what I needed. Like, these people say, I'm going to get emotional. These people saved my life and they didn't even know it. Because for me, I knew that I had to get back into service if I was going to make it. And really my attitude was like I needed to get back to Prescott so I could get my old sponsor, go back to my old meetings, get into service because I knew that's what worked for me. And I don't like living in that place of depression and suicide and all that ismness, right? Because it creeps back so fast for me that I have to maintain that connection at all times. And for me, it is all about God, because when I go to meetings, I connect with God. When I'm in service, I connect with God. I mean, when I was 21 years old, a year sober, and I walked into the room and I saw like 1,400 people at the time, I'm pretty sure it's like triple here this year, but I was like, holy shit, like, I can do this. And like, that's what it's about. It's like carrying that message to the newcomer. Like, the sobriety countdown is my favorite thing. Like, it's like on the list of fireworks, okay? Because I love fireworks. And so I'm like, okay, I love the sobriety countdown because you have the old timer and you have the person that's like just sober. And everyone's screaming like, keep coming back, because that's the thing, is that if you don't want to drink again, you don't have to. And conferences like that show kids. That was me. I wasn't a newcomer, but I was a year sober, and I was like, holy cow, like, I don't have to drink again if I don't want to. And that is just, like, extremely powerful. So if you guys are going to the countdown tonight, you'll see me, because I go berserko and scream and yell, and I absolutely love it. So I'm super grateful to be here. You know, there's balance in my life because I'm married. I'm a professional. I have 3 kids. I do have a sponsor. I sponsor women when they ask. I don't go and seek people like I used to, because I used to be that person. But because I have to have balance in my life, and I try to get to conferences when I can.
And so I'm really, really, really grateful to be here today, and I hope you guys enjoy your conference and make sure you share that message to the newcomer. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. At this time, we will take some questions. There's no such thing as a bad question. So if you raise your hand, I'll repeat the question into the recording devices, and then whoever wants to answer it, I'll just pass these down to them. Yeah, so it's time for that. Yes, there is.
I'm not sure how much time we have, but how did the four of you, in your experience, like what first started that higher level of service? Because I would like to get into the higher level of service because I know, like, just putting shopping carts away, picking up cigarette butts, helping somebody carry their groceries, I know that really helps me, but I want to get that, you know, good logo to the shop. So, like, what initially started you getting into the higher level of service?
All right, so the question was, how did you get into a higher level of service?
Okay, so I'm GSR for my home group, and for the higher level of service, like how I got into it, I was literally sitting on the couch with my sponsor and we were talking about stuff, and like I was talking about YPAW, and there's so many facets to YPAW committees. I was like, you know, I want to make waves in Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. You know, I love planning. I like making lists. I like to vote on stuff. I like to feel like I'm making a difference in that way. And that's GSR. So if you are looking for higher levels of service, I would really recommend GSR for your home group. Or, you know, if you're on a YPAW committee, you could be GSL, the General Service Liaison. That's where during those conferences, that's where all of the motions for Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole come together. Like, we have area delegates, which D, he spoke last night. And then what happens is they pretty much, like, they get to make motions. That gets moved up the hierarchy of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they all go to New York and like have this huge delegate conference, and then they bring it back down to us. And so when you're thinking about the fourth tradition of autonomy and in things of that nature, like the home groups are so essential to Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole, because it's the autonomy of AA, you know. And this isn't run by one fearless leader or something. It's all about the people, you know, and all inclusive. And so if you're really looking to get into higher level, I would start at your home group. GSR, show up at conference. I will see you there. If you need a ride, I'll see you there too. But yeah.
Thanks, Claudia.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Frank Alcoholic.
Hi, Frank.
I came to Alcoholics Anonymous late in my life. I was 62, 74 now. Some of you have way more smart than me, which I think is wonderful. I didn't learn about altruistic service until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I did service, but I wanted everybody to know that I was a good guy. Thank you for thanking me. I mean that. What was your reaction to learning about altruistic service?
So what was your reaction to learning about altruistic service? Oh, I'm gonna pass it down.
Thank you for the question. My response is, this is the exact feeling I've been looking for my entire life. This is better than the first drink. It's better than the first hit. It's better than the guy that I was pining over. It's better than getting the dream car. It was first moment of sitting across from a sponsee who'd gone through a similar childhood as mine, a similar drinking career as mine, similar feelings as mine, was when I finally realized that my pain was for a reason and that I wasn't a piece of shit like I thought I was, and that I had a reason for existing on this planet when I've seen so many of my friends die and I've gone through all these hardships. It all came together for me. And my life was no longer about me. So yeah, it's the most profound impact I've ever had in my life. I would not still be here if it wasn't for having that opportunity, for sure. I mean, thank God I made it to the 12th step. If you haven't yet, stick around. That's where the beauty happened for me. So yeah, thank you.
So the questions, what was your experience going from a higher level of service back towards home group level of service? And what was that like?
So my experience with that, I mean, being, on a host committee, and I do have a home group, right now I'm kind of only doing service for my home group right now. And I like what you said, because it making coffee, picking up ashtrays, being on a committee, doing all of that stuff all has the same result, right? Like, we get out of ourselves, we help another alcoholic. So right now for me, I am just chilling with my home group, with my girls, making coffee, helping clean up. I'm not right now an ego, which is nice, because sometimes that ego will crop up where it's like, oh no, let's let the newcomer clean those coffee cups or whatever. But it's like, you know what? No, like, I'm going to be supportive of my home group. Like, I'm a part of this. I'm going to wash the cups. I'm going to pick up the Kleenex boxes. I'm going to read how it works if that's what they want me to do that day. And I think it is important for the newcomer to know, like, just showing up. In our group, everyone has to take a ticket. And so we ask, like, just share your name, and that you're an alcoholic, or that you have desire not to drink, or you want to be here, or whatever, just because that gives you that unity, right? And that is service for maybe someone that just drank last night, just hearing, like, oh, they're saying their name and that they're an alcoholic and I belong here too. It comes down to just the littlest things for me. And back to basics, I think, is really important for me, because left to my own devices, I'll go on a tailspin, so... You're welcome.
Number one, quick question. Cool. I'll now read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continue to constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is bright, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, Christian.
Thank you. We'll circle up for the responsibility pledge.
Yeah. Let's have a moment of silence for all the alcohol except from inside and outside this room. Who's responsible?
I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA. Always be there, and for that, I am responsible.
Yeah.
You said a man named Dale was the first guy.
Dale Lockwood. Do you know Dale?
I know him very well.
You
yes,
do?
I do. That's his brother right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He took me through steps into. We went on a Tibet trip together, and he took me through steps on that trip.
Really?
And he lives. My parents
name?
Live in Hong Kong,
okay.
So I go and I visit.
Okay.
I met him on a trip because I know Molly.
Thank you.
I know Molly.
Yeah,
yes,
Molly.
Great job. And
thank
so he was on our treehouse Tibet trip with us.
I'm gonna make you cry again.
Thank you.
That's so crazy. That is the
steps,
reason.
And he was like, I live in Hong Kong. I was like, you live in Hong Kong. And it was like, whoa, you know.
That's so awesome.
I'm gonna tell him you mentioned him.
Yeah,
if I can.
He knows me very well.
Oh,
very
I'm
good
sure.
Friends.
I'm sure.
He got sober when he was 16. Do you? Okay.
Unfortunately, too. Not only the
What are you missing, sir? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, how's it going?
Oh, my jacket. I don't know what to do with these. I'm just going to give them to someone.
Okay, good. Hey, thanks, Christian.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Damn.
Good shit, bro.
Thank you. Damn.
One's a
fool. When Nikki was sharing, she was talking about your brother.
Yeah, I know.
That's fucking sick, dude. That's so sick, bro.
I know.
That's awesome. Yeah. Dude, I don't know how to pause these.
I remember her from when I was a kid back here.
Really?
Where did Nikki go?
Nikki, she should be in here, over there. Dude, how do I pause these recorders, bro?